Well, since this is the last opportunity publicly I'm preaching the Word of God, I would like to thank especially the local assembly, as our brother Robert has done, for their warm welcome and invitation to come among them, and every kindness that has been shown, the lovely meals and the hard work and labor of the dear sisters. We deeply appreciate this and have not taken it for granted. It's been a great joy to be with you over this weekend. Now shall we turn again to the Gospel of John chapter 3? And verse 16. We don't apologize for reading the same verse. We're not seeking in any way to improve upon the message that has been already given. We can't do that. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is a great verse. It's a very precious verse. It's precious to me because as a young boy of nearly 12 years of age in the city of London, England, I listened to my own father preaching the gospel on John 3 and verse 16. Coming away from the gospel hall that night, getting back home, my father was greatly encouraged because he said, you know, John, four young men tonight trusted Christ and got saved. I said, you're wrong, Dad. You're wrong. Wrong? I said there were five. Five. But Dad, I got saved tonight. Great. You know, the first time John 3 verse 16 was ever preached, it came from the very lips of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that John 3 verse 16 contained the very words of the Savior. And the very first time he preached them, a sinner heard of God's love. Nicodemus. It was the first time he ever heard these wonderful words that God loved him and gave his son for him.
Nicodemus got saved.
Some of you boys and girls have listened to John 3 verse 16 from infancy and childhood and in Sunday school days, and you'll be brought along to the gospel meeting week after week, month after month, year after year, and you've heard it many times,
and you're still unsaved.
You're still in your sins, and you're going down to hell. What a wonderful verse John 3 verse 16 is. It brings before us the sweetest possible theme in all the world. God love. For God so loved the world. It gives us the highest possible token that God could give of his love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. John 3 verse 16 brings before us, dear friend, the simplest possible term in all the world whereby a soul can be saved. But whosoever believeth, John 3 verse 16 tells us of the greatest possible tragedy in all the world. What's that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Oh, friend, what a great tragedy this is. What a tragedy it would be for any boy, a girl, a man, a woman in the gospel meeting tonight, and you know the way of salvation,
and you know the gospel, and you know that Christ died for you, and you know that you need to be saved, my dear friend, it will be a terrible thing if you missed God's salvation and went into eternity, and you were irretrievably and eternally, tragically lost. You would perish. I tell you, there's no tragedy compared to this. Ah, but by the time you get to the end of John 3, verse 16, the verse tells me too of the richest possible treasure. What's that? Everlasting life. Have you got it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you received the free gift of everlasting life? Do you understand tonight, as you sit in the gospel meeting, if you're not born again of the Spirit of God, if you're not saved, that you are dead. Spiritually dead. Cut off, says the Bible, from the life of God. I heard about a preacher taking a funeral service, and he sat with the undertaker in the hearse at the front. And the preacher turned to the undertaker and he said to him, because he wanted to tell the undertaker about the Savior. He says, sir, what do you suppose the Bible means, indeed the Lord Jesus means, when he said, let the dead bury their dead? Is that in the Bible? I assure you it is. And he got out his New Testament and read the words of Christ. I never knew such a thing was in the Bible. It doesn't make sense. Let the dead bury their dead.
Well, let me, sir, explain it like this.
The dead corpse of our friend is in the coffin in the back of the hearse. He's dead to the world and friends and his wife and everything. He's dead. He's died physically. But you see, sir, if you're not saved, and anyone not saved and doesn't know Christ, they're dead spiritually. Dead spiritually. And that's what the Lord Jesus meant, said the man, the preacher. Let the dead, let the spiritually dead, bury the physically dead. The undertaker said, I've never seen that in my life before. Do you mean to say that I'm spiritually dead? And I don't have any spiritual life? Absolutely. You know, I'm glad to tell you the sequel of that incident. The undertaker got saved. It would make a good caption in the newspaper the next day. Dead undertaker gets life. But that is what precisely happened. And as you sit in the gospel meeting tonight, my dear soul, there is something you have got. Your sins. And they need to be forgiven if you're going to be in God's heaven. But there's something you haven't got. Is that simple enough? You haven't got divine life. You haven't got the life of God in you. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 and verse 1, you are dead in trespasses and sins. You are separated from God. Sin is the great barrier, and that has to be removed. And you need to have communicated to you divine life. Oh, what a great verse, John 3, verse 16 is. Yes, indeed, the sweetest theme in all the world. For God so loved the world. A guilty world. A lost world. A needy world. A world of people going to hell. You know, in the Old Testament, I suppose the great burden, if we were to sum up the message of the Old Testament, as far as what God required, it would be this. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Yes, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. I would say the entire record of the Old Testament is to show us how man has not loved God. But when we come to the New Testament, what a difference. while man has failed to love God and to please God and has continued in his sin, the great message of the New Testament is, God so loved the world. Isn't that great? Why should God love you? Why should God love you? Why, dear friend, there's no moral necessity why he should. But he does. He does. And the Bible says, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I tell you, it is indeed the sweetest theme, the greatest story in all the world. God's love. God's love. To think that he should love me is a wonder to my soul. To think that he should think about me and plan for my eternal salvation and not leave me to myself and let me wander along the rough pathway of life and do the best I can and finish up in hell. He loves me. And to prove it, he has given his son to die in my room and in my stead and to bear the punishment that was due to me. He loves me freely, spontaneously, wonderfully, greatly, eternally. He loves me. How wonderful the Lord should say, for God so loved the world. I tell you something. This is one of the great surprises in the gospel. You know what? An unsaved person, a person who doesn't believe, and a person who's unregenerate, listens to the gospel for the first time. You know, there's a few shocks in it. The gospel is full of surprises for him. And I tell you something. Nicodemus, this religious Jew,
he was a big shock.
What was this? He was an Orthodox Jew to his fingertips. But here is one, unique, and he has come to him, the Lord Jesus, telling him that God does not just love the Jew, that God's love is not confined to the Jew, but God's love is universal. He loves the whole world. What a revelation. This was something indeed entirely new. The Lord Jesus said in verse 12 to Nicodemus, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And this is one of the heavenly things of the gospel. God's love. The sweetest theme in all the world. Farmer one day, way over there in England, listened to the gospel for the first time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He went up to the preacher and said, is that in the Bible? And the preacher assured him it was. He says, look, I'm a farmer, and I've got five sons at home, and I wouldn't give the worst of them for the best. And you're telling me that God loved me so much that he gave his only begotten Son to Calvary's cross, that I may not perish, that I may fill a place in heaven? Yes! He believed it. He said, are you going to heaven? Young man, young boy, are you in your sins tonight? You have never responded to the love of God. It has never touched your heart. For God so loved the world. I want to say again, it's the greatest theme in all the world. There's no story to equal this wonderful story of God's love. But the highest possible token he could give of his love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. One no less than his own son. Oh, what a great verse, John 3, verse 16. In many ways we can't understand it. It's thrilling. It's one of the wonders, I would say to you tonight, of the Bible, that God loved us so much he gave his only son to die for us at the cross of Calvary. He gave us indeed the highest possible token he could give of his love when he gave his son. He could give no more. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth. Ah, Mr. Preacher, this is what I stumble over. The simplicity of the message of the gospel. Well, here we have the simplest possible terms. Our brother Robert has quoted another great verse. Tucked away there in Isaiah chapter 45. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. Some theologians would take a few weeks, you know, to explain how to get to heaven. Hopefully get to heaven. But the Holy Spirit of God has compressed it
He has given it in one word of four letters. Look. L-O-O-K. Look away from self. Look away from men. Look away from the church. Look away from religion. If you want to be saved and not perish, if you want to be in heaven and not in hell, you must look to the Savior by faith. You must look to the Savior who took your place and died in your room and in your stead. One dear man went to a young man who was dying. He was on his deathbed. A young man, tragic, untimely death, and there he was. Only a few days, or maybe a few hours to live. And he wanted to know how he could be right with God, how he could have peace with God, how he could be saved. And the preacher said to him, how long do you think it would take for you to be saved? Oh, he said, I would have to think about all my sins. And I'd have to go over them, and I'd have to count them. And I'd have to get myself in the right frame of mind and get myself into the right condition and read a lot of verses in the Bible and get myself feeling a little bit religious. I don't know. I think it would take a few days. Young man, he said, it can take just a second. Not a hard thing physically to look through the neck a little bit, is it? Not a hard thing. Have you ever looked to Christ? Have you ever taken the word of God to heart? Have you ever said with the hymn writer, I take him at his word indeed. Christ died for sinners, this I read, and in my heart I find a need of him to be my Savior. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and beside me there is none else. What a great lesson. There in Isaiah 45 and verse 22, we have the simplest way of salvation. We have the greatest possibility, the greatest blessing, salvation. We have the highest authority. I am God. Better not preach Isaiah 45 verse 22, but wait for John 3 verse 16, but it's a great verse. In John 3 verse 16, we have the highest possible talking God could give, as well as the sweetest theme in all the world. And now we're thinking of the simplest possible terms. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe. I want to tell you, friend, mighty and broad though the love of God is, it will prove useless to everyone who does not believe in Christ. The matter of your salvation does not turn on whether God loves you, and he does, or whether Christ died for you, and he has. But the point is, do I believe? Do I believe? Do I believe it? Whosoever Whoever is prepared to take God at his word. Whosoever believes. Have you believed? Have you put your trust in Christ? Have you taken God at his word? Have you come to Christ? Have you believed on Christ? Have you trusted Christ? These are simple words of the gospel, friends. Have you? You know, Dr. John G. Patton, a missionary to the New Hebrides, was translating the Bible in the native tongue. And he was in John's Gospel, came to John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believeth, he thought about that. What word can I use? And he had a bit of a struggle. And he couldn't find a suitable word for whosoever believeth. And he just prayed to God to guide him and to help him to put the right word in there. And just as he prayed to God, well, one of the natives from the field workers came into the hut where Dr. John Patton was translating the scriptures, and he came in weary and tired, and he said, oh, I'm so tired. And he walked over to a basket with a chair and said, I could just lean my whole weight upon this chair. That's the word. That's the word. And Dr. John G. Patton just put that in. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever leaneth his whole weight upon him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So So what do we have in John 3:16? We have indeed the sweetest possible theme in all the world about God's love, the highest possible token that God could give of his love, and the simplest possible terms upon which a soul can be saved. But here too, dear friend, we have the greatest possible tragedy. For God, said the Lord Jesus, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You're perishing tonight if you're not saved. Who knows, you could be in hell very soon if you're not saved. You'll not die unloved, for God loves you, but you could die, my dear friend, in your sins, unsaved and lost forever, and you'll perish. What does it mean to perish? Well, we've had good explanations from our dear brother. Let me spell it out for the youngest tonight. P-E-R-I-S-H. To perish means to P, pass, E, eternally, R, ruined, I, into, S, sinners, hell. To perish means to pass eternally ruined into hell. You know, thank God I'm saved tonight. And I wouldn't change places with you for all the money, all the diamonds and gold in the world. I would not. I simply don't know how, if you're not saved tonight, you can go out of the meeting unsaved. After listening to this wonderful truth, this great gospel news of John 3, verse 16, and just continuing the same old way in your sins, going down to hell. God may not give you any other chance or opportunity, friend. Who knows? Your life could be cut off tomorrow. You could be unexpectedly put into eternity and lost. You're perishing. Do you realize that? You're in grave, serious danger. Anguish or ecstasy, peace or perplexity, infinite, absolute, offered to thee. Pause on the brink today. Ponder eternity, ever and ever and ever to be. It's a serious business, friend. It concerns the eternal destiny of your soul. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, the richest possible treasure, but have everlasting life. Have you got everlasting life? It's in the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus can give it to you. He died on the cross for your sins that you might have this life. The price was very, very great. He gave his life that you might have eternal life. There's no treasure to be compared with the treasure of this wonderful gift. Do you have it, friend? Have you got it? Are you enjoying this treasure? The millionaires of this world are paupers by comparison to those who have eternal life. You got it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Here's the word of assurance. Here's the guarantee of Christ. But how? Everlasting life. God loves you. Christ died for you. None need perish. All that was needed to do and to pay, Jesus has done in his own blessed way. He has finished the great work of salvation to fit you for heaven on the cross. That's why he was there. That's why he died. That's why he endured the judgment and wrath of God that was due to our sin. What a Savior! How greatly he loved us. Thank God he's a living Savior. For the resurrection of Christ is a great part, essential part of the gospel message. He's risen. He's glorified. He's living. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by faith. Oh, God, help you to look to Christ, to take God at his word, and to trust the Savior who suffered and bled upon that cross, that you might have everlasting life. Shall we pray?